You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We are finally done with week six as we head to about the halfway point of the fantasy football regular season. We had the Packers and 49ers on Monday night to wrap it up in a nice fantasy game overall with a lot of good scoring. We'll talk about that game, break it down to put a bow on week six and what we learned from that week and the takeaways there. Then we'll turn our attention to week seven and beyond with our weekly look at the waiver wire. It's called Weekly Waiver Wire. And Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly will join us, as he always does, here there for our second segment to talk about some quarterbacks and running backs that are intriguing here as we get into the big bye weeks this week. Speaking of Green Bay, they're off, as well as Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Oakland. Not much to see in Oakland, but those are the four teams off here. So the bye weeks are getting real here. It's no longer two teams every week. It's a lot of teams off here in this middle stretch. So you're going to need some guys to come through for you that you don't normally play. So we look at the Packers and 49ers. Let's jump into that. One guy that we'll talk about a little bit more is C.J. Beathard. And this guy just keeps having to throw. This offense is pretty good. And we saw the production here. It wasn't a high volume for C.J. Beathard. They were able to run the ball very effectively. Matt Breida surprised everyone by being to play. This was really tough because everyone was kind of expecting Alfred Morris to have to carry the load here. This turned very south for Alfred Morris, because not only did Matt Breida play through the ankle injury where he looked doubtful early in the week, he carried 14 times for 61 yards and a TD. Didn't get any work on the passing game, but again, they didn't have to run the ball or pass the ball too much with the way they ran the ball. But the real surprise was Raheem Mostert was the leading rusher here. He had lost a fumble in their previous game against Cardinals, but he goes 12 for 87 here, runs really well, and he jumps Alfred Morris in this backfield. It's very surprising to see that. Mostert and Breida, again, not involved in the passing game, but they clearly made an intention that this is the duo they wanted in their zone blocking scheme this week. Maybe wanted a little bit more explosiveness and pop, and Mostert gave it to them. So there's nothing there that Mostert did that would indicate that they would want to go back to Morris, because they formed a good combination, really ran over 174 yards rushing total. The 26 of that came from C.J. Beathard and Marquise Goodwin, but still very good here. And Beathard, again, what can you say? 245, two TDs there. And the key is where the two TDs went to is Marquise Goodwin. This guy's legitimately back as the 49ers' number one receiver, the sleeper that we drafted in fantasy with Jimmy Garoppolo, looking that chemistry of being a big playmaker. Well, he only needed five targets, gets four for 126 and two TDs, including a 67-yard play here, and had a little bit of work in the rushing game. So they're realizing Pierre Garçon is old, only four catches for 37. George Kittle, very limited game, was able to play. We didn't know about him, but four catches for 30 yards and six. So Goodwin still is the number one receiver on this team. Kittle is a close second. He just had a not big game with the team being able to run all over the Packers. But overall, Goodwin is back in our good graces, and we'll talk a little bit more about him when we look at the wide receiver pickups here in a few moments. And you look at the Packers side of things, Aaron Rodgers came through again. You like the game flow being negative for the Packers. They had to come back and win. He had to throw a touchdown late and then lead a field goal drive late. 425 and two for Rodgers. He added 34 yards rushing. This is what you want if you're a fantasy owner. You don't care about the Packers winning or losing. You want them to be trailing. And you look at the distribution, it's perfect here. 10 for 132 and 2 for Devontae Adams. You had 5 for 104 on 9 targets for Jimmy Graham. 3 for 103 on 6 targets for Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Both Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison didn't play in this game. So I think bottom line is that number 2 receiver who it is on the outside is going to be very productive for Green Bay. We've seen it with Allison. We've seen it with Valdez-Scantling. Randall Cobb, again, with the way Adams and Graham and that number two outside receiver are playing in this offense, not much expectation for Randall Cobb. He also has a tricky hamstring. So I expect Geronimo Allison to be back. We'll have to see about Cobb after this bye week. But Aaron Rodgers, this is going perfectly for them. And it's not going perfectly if you like Aaron Jones and want him to get going. He had a touchdown call back, was ruled down short. They ended up turning that into a rushing touchdown for Ty Montgomery instead of Aaron Jones. So 8 for 41, but Jamal Williams was still involved. He had 6 for 29. He looked just as good against his team. Also had one catch for 10 yards while Aaron Jones blanked there. So not looking good for Aaron Jones because Jamal Williams continues to pass protect and run a little bit better. Montgomery is still a factor in the red zone and catching passes. So Aaron Jones, I think we can kill the hype train. It's not going to change. It's going to be a committee, and he's not going to carve into this role all that much. And it's frustrating, but the Packers are going to use the committee. They want the best pass protector and best pass catcher in there, and that's not always Jones. So Jones has got to be in a straight-up running situation where the game flow favors. And then you look at the Packers going forward, have the Rams and Patriots. I don't see the game flow coming there for Aaron Jones to be involved. I see a heck of a lot more of Rodgers throwing the ball up and down the field against those teams. So you'll have to be without Adams and Rodgers for a week here, but look forward to firing them up after the bye here. And it's going to be a heavy passing team for sure. And we saw that even their defense is not good enough. They had 49 dropbacks for Rodgers here versus only 21 rushing attempts. So that's going to continue. It doesn't matter what type of game they're playing. Throwing is the Packers' strong suit with Rodgers, and Jones is going to be hit or miss from week to week. Now, we said we'd look at the wide receivers here in depth, and again, if there's any doubt that Allison or Cobb is going to miss more time, you have to look and own Marquez Valdez-Scantling in every league. He's probably picked up a lot, but you have to be aware of that position. Goodwin, if people had given up on him and he was available in more than half of Yahoo leagues because of the downside without Jimmy Garoppolo, you have to go out and get at this guy. Because you look at Goodwin and what he does, especially, he's a big playmaker. They're not afraid to just execute the offense they were going to run with Jimmy Garoppolo. As I mentioned, Garcon is just not there. Trent Taylor's got the back issues as well. Kendrick Bourne is not special. Dante Pettis is hurting as well. So at wide receiver, Goodwin should continue to be the go-to guy. Is he going to get those long touchdowns every week? No, absolutely not. But he's a guy that can take the top off of defense. You look at the Rams next week. They've struggled a little bit in giving up some deep plays downfield. Struggled with Emmanuel Sanders last week. So Goodwin is a guy that you can fire up confidently here. And to put him back in the wide receiver three conversation firmly in there. And a guy that I would not hesitate to start here going forward. Now, we look at Taylor Gabriel. This is two straight big games for Gabriel. Now, Anthony Miller did get involved and scored a wide-open touchdown there. Trey Burton was involved. Allen Robinson, both of those guys scored. But Gabriel is that kind of glue person here. And the Patriots struggle with this type of receiver deep who can use his speed and quickness. We saw that with Tyreek Hill. So Gabriel is a guy. Look at Gabriel and Goodwin. Two very good DFS plays here because of their big playability as well. As a year-long help at wide receiver during the bye weeks when you have Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown and Adams and Doug Baldwin. And maybe if you're still using Amari Cooper or Jordy Nelson, a lot of buys. So those are guys you can take advantage of. Now, Chris Godwin, I wanted to see the chemistry there with Jameis Winston. It was evident there. Deshaun Jackson made a couple plays there, but I feel like this is a better connection with Godwin. While Deshaun Jackson is more of a Ryan Fitzpatrick guy. So that's good for Chris Godwin here going forward. But he's going to be more involved. And we remember that he was a co-number two there. And with Mike Evans maybe not being forced the ball as much the way that Fitzpatrick did, Winston's just a better quarterback, so he can spread it around. Godwin is going to definitely have a lot of value for you there. Now, Kiki Kuti, Will Fuller doesn't look right still to me. And Kuti is maybe being hurt by them forcing Fuller in the lineup in Houston. But you look at the slot struggles of the Jaguars. Cole Beasley carved them up last week. Really can't cover the inside receiver at all. People want to get away from A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey. So I really like Kuti this week. If he's been dropped, people are disappointing. He's a guy that you definitely have to pick up and use, and he has more value. I think Christian Kirk, we've talked about him going forward as a rookie. He's really the number one receiver in Arizona to me, and I think he can get going. Larry Fitzgerald might draw some Chris Harris Jr. working the slot. Kirk is a guy that they can put outside. The Broncos can be vulnerable to those type of receivers, so Kirk is going to be a thing here. I don't know if he's playable, totally depending on your league format and your roster, but Kirk definitely needs to be owned in every league because he's clearly the number one in Arizona over Fitzgerald and Chad Williams as well. Antonio Callaway, if people are down on him, he had some drops, didn't look so good, but the matchups, we'll talk about that with Eric, Baker Mayfield going forward, are very good here. But you look at Callaway having the four favorable matchups in a row here to get going for wide receivers. Callaway, this is a golden opportunity with Rashad Higgins still hurting there on that team. Now, I don't know who you trust consistently on the passing games of the Jets and the Colts in that same game, but Jermaine Kearse and Chester Rogers were pretty productive there. So Kearse is getting more involved. It seems like it's every week a different dude there in New York, but Quincy Noone was hurt, so he's out of the mix. Terrell Pryor is also hurt, and Robbie Anderson is just a deep threat. So if you're looking for a slot or outside guy that Sam Darnold is going to trust as a veteran, it's Jermaine Kearse, and they get a good spot here where Kearse can attack the Vikings here away from their corners. He's probably not going to get the Xavier Rhodes treatment, probably going to be Robbie Anderson to stop the big play. So Kearse, a good spot against the Vikings. Chester Rogers, T.Y. Hilton, that hamstring is very annoying there. They get the Bills this week. Rogers, you want to not Chester Davis White and their outside guys, and Rogers is a guy that they can run inside as well, and he's been very productive here with Hilton down and really the number two, I mean, co-number one, really, with Eric Ebron there in Indianapolis. So a lot of good value there. A lot of questions about Cole Beasley this week for the Cowboys. Again, product of the slot matchup. You look at the Redskins, they are actually pretty decent overall in their secondary. So Cole Beasley is still not a guy I'm trusting. Product of that matchup, but really more so that I'm excited more about QT working the slot here for the Texans against the Jaguars. So that's really what the development there is going forward. And that's kind of what our snapshot is at wide receivers. A lot of the guys we've talked about before, there's a little more interesting there at a running back that we'll talk about there with Eric right after we tell you this, that this podcast, I love doing it. I've had a lot of good comments about it over the years, and I've done my picks column, the primer. Now it's just called the Week 7 Picks. Do it straight up and against the spread at sportingnews.com. Well, let me tell you this. What I've learned over the years is it's betting on the right teams is one thing, but you also want to bet in the right place. And now with the betting becoming mainstream all over, this is the great time to go and get in the action on MyBookie. MyBookie is one of the best places out there for online wagering. You look at the reviews online, they're all stellar. The players that go there, they get some of the best perks in the business, and they love being part of it and getting on the action every single week during the NFL season. And they're offering a great deal for you as a first-time bettor there at MyBookie. If you make your first deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they get slammed before then. You know, a lot of new bettors want to get in there early before dinner. But if you can wait after dinner, go deposit there and use the promo code LOCKEDON25. They'll give you $25 for free, basically, with your first deposit there. So you can't beat that. You just stop getting in when the rush is there. Go after 7 p.m., get that deposit in, and they'll also match your initial deposit dollar for dollar there. So a great deal there, up to a good value that you're not going to find anywhere else to get you started and rolling with your bankroll for MyBookie. So MyBookie, you look at it, it's so easy to use. They have great live in-game betting. You can even bet on the fantasy football over-unders in a particular week as side games as well. So all kinds of action to get in on now. Best time to do it, use that promo code LOCKEDON25, deposit after 7 p.m. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Enter that promo code LOCKEDON25. Take advantage of this great deal right now. When we get back, we'll talk to Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly to help us with the weekly waiver wire regarding quarterbacks and running backs.
Joining me now, as he always does here for weekly waiver wires, Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. How's it going, Eric?
Everything's good, man. Just accepting the fact that I have one terrible fantasy team and one pretty decent one. So, you know, I'm batting 500, I guess.
Yeah, that's I think almost everybody is in that boat. Some things worked out, everyone clicks, and then there's some rosters that really need help, and that's what we do here every week. And week seven, not many things that are going to affect your team too much, but some interesting guys out there, especially with the bye weeks coming in. You got to start looking at quarterback, and I look at, we'll start with Baker Mayfield, everyone's buzz guy. He didn't come through the Chargers game, but I think that's going to be a lot tougher than what he sees here coming up with the Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh. It's lining up pretty well, and then ending up with Atlanta on this stretch here. So a lot of very favorable defenses ahead for Mayfield. I think he's going to get it going at some point. I think the talent is there, and I think he just needs a little bit more help from Jarvis Landry and Antonio Callaway.
Yeah, I think you're right. And good point about the bye weeks, too. I mean, especially this week, you have, what, Packers, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you have Ben Roethlisberger, you have Russell Wilson. I don't know if Derek Carr is a starting fifth quarterback, but, you know, that's three prominent quarterbacks out. I'm sure a lot of people didn't draft Mayfield at the start of the year and make him their starter, obviously, because he wasn't starting in real life. So, yeah, just with that as a backdrop, I think you're right. I mean, Callaway's drops have become kind of maddening at this point. You know, he had the one in the end zone. There were a few other plays that they certainly left on the field. There's, you know, a bit of an identity crisis going on in the backfield. Mayfield hurt his ankle early and you know, sort of took the blame for that one. But you do look at the schedule and you say to yourself, it would be foolish, I think, to bury this guy or put him too far behind. These next four defenses absolutely represent great value. So I would even suggest, you know, the guy in your league who grabbed Mayfield, if he's ready to bail on him, this is a great chance to pounce in on some value, you know, buy low and be able to get a pretty good return out of it this next month or so.
Yeah, and I like the way he kind of keeps his head up looking for the plays. He's not kind of burying himself here pretty easily. I think he's going to persevere and keep throwing. And I think it also helps that their running game is starting to evaporate as well. Looking at another guy that you have close proximity to is Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. Comes out of the Tampa Bay game, has the bye. We're not sure about this Miami matchup. A little tricky on the road. He comes through again as this offense is starting to click here and gets the Patriots this week. And I think when you look at the Patriots, the one thing they struggle with, it's very similar type of offense to the one they saw against the Chiefs. Speed, 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 and athleticism all over the field. So I think Mitchell Trubisky stays hot here. I think he's going to be a viable quarterback here in a lot of reasonably sized leagues.
I did too. Yeah, I mean, maybe the Jets are a sneaky, decent opponent a week after that. But I really think you're right about this. And, you know, it's funny because they finally opened that offense up in the second half. You know, they get the ball, immediately go down the field. You know, the first 14 plays they ran, like a dozen plays, I guess there were a couple penalties in there of the second half. It was like, okay, this is what you should have been doing earlier in the game. And they really got rolling there. So, yeah, I mean, Trubisky probably wouldn't have been on my radar as a starting quarterback. But, you know, given where we at in the season with the byes, given where, you know, his development has gone the last two times he's been out there, yeah, I like it. And I think it's absolutely an option. You got Taylor Gabriel having a career season, Tariq Cohen seeing more snaps as a receiver. You know, they used Trey Burton well in the red zone. Allen Robinson's heating up. You know, I'm waiting for that big breakout game from him, but I think it's coming. So the arrow's pointing up. The issue has been, you know, other things, I think. And so, yeah, I kind of like him as a low-end play for this week and maybe next too.
Now, one guy that's really maybe we totally ignored and Jimmy Garoppolo owners were like, what am I going to do now? I guess the solution was just turning to C.J. Beathard. Coming off, the one thing I like about C.J. Beathard is he's going to hang in there, throw the ball a lot. And the one thing that's also in play here with Kyle Shanahan as well is they're not shying away from what they were going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, running the same type of plays. They can run the ball, open things up in the passing game, and all of a sudden everyone's getting involved. It doesn't really matter who's out there, and he's actually getting the ball deep now to Marquise Goodwin. So C.J. Beathard is a guy that maybe we've undervalued a little bit. He's got the Rams this week who've kind of looked a little bit vulnerable. Going forward, I think he's a guy that should be owned in most leagues as a solid backup here.
I think so, too. I mean, that's three straight games now with multiple TD passes with 200 and what did he have, 245 last night. I mean, that was his low mark the last 3 weeks. So even with a bad game, quote-unquote bad game against the Arizona Cardinals, it was still a good fantasy performance. So, you know, he had the rushing touchdown, et cetera. Yeah, I mean, look, does he frighten the heck out of me every time he takes a sack or tries to run for a first down? Absolutely. So, you know, you obviously need a little insurance there on your roster. But right, as a backup, this is how you kind of steal fantasy points, I think, by sort of separating a player from his reputation or his standing on the depth chart at the start of the year and realizing he's putting up points, you know, and they have some games. I mean, look, the Rams defense has been okay. I think they get the rematch against Arizona after that and then Oakland. I mean, so the next three games are games where he should continue to put up points in theory. I think I absolutely am agreement in this. And, you know, Shanahan just schemes up a nice game. You said it, man. I mean, they can go in a number of different directions. And, you know, it's crazy to see some of the wide open opportunities that no matter who the quarterback is, the 49ers are going to present almost every week.
And that's the thing. I mean, we both covered this game for a long time. And what I'm seeing now more than ever is these system-type quarterbacks where the system is just bigger than whoever's in there. I know Trubisky and Beathard are very talented guys, and Jared Goff has his share of talent as well. But it's like more that you trust a system versus the player that you can believe in to come through here more and more so in fantasy football.
Yeah, and you really stress defenses in ways where there are, you know, three or four eligible receivers on a play. They could be a scat back, a tight end, a speed wide receiver, and a big wide receiver. And you've got to have defensive personnel to match that. And so, in theory, there's going to be, you would think, on most plays, at least one mismatch there somewhere. A linebacker against a tight end, a bigger corner against a faster receiver, whatever it may be, there's something to exploit on almost every offensive play. And if the quarterback makes the right read, that's, you know, 10, 15, 20 yards right there on almost every play. I'm not saying it happens that way, but the possibility is there. So you're right. Those systems just create great opportunities in a lot of cases.
Well, one system with the Colts that's been all about the quarterback of late, but we saw some hint of the running back coming back. Marlon Mack, we pretty much wrote him off. He had the hamstring, he had the foot, back to the hamstring. You had Naeem Hines kind of get some buzz there. We talked about him on a previous show here as Jordan Wilkins and Robert Turbin, these other guys just fade away. But now Marlon Mack ran very well against the Jets. It's a tougher spot, I think, going this week. But overall, when you look at Marlon Mack, do you trust him? And what did you like about him coming out of college where we think we might be able to believe him in this Frank Reich system?
Yeah, I knew some of the coaches on that South Florida staff. And you know, if I remember correctly, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, I think the fumbles were the issue in college. Like, he could do, you know, everybody was saying he's basically a complete back. He's got a little burst. He's got some decent size to him. He's in that kind of, you know, 205 to 215 range, a nice build. He can catch the football. He can pass protect. So I think NFL scouts were kind of like, wow, this guy can do a little bit of everything out there, which gives him that, you know, three down role in a fast break offense. You don't have to take him off the field, sub him out, that sort of thing. But the fumbles were an issue. Now, I think he only had one last year. I'd have to go back. I remember writing about this at one point, but I don't think he's put one on the ground in the two games so far this year. But yeah, nice little burst. I'd like to see him do a little more as a receiver. I think that was one of the things that people sort of felt like, you know, he could be a 30 to 40 catch guy and be a decent option there. I remember him having one or two long catches last year. and a couple of bursts. I think that the San Francisco game last year was kind of the eye opener, if I remember correctly. He had like three or four touches, and they all went for decent chunks. So, yeah, he's kind of that sneaky chunk runner where he all of a sudden picks up 17 yards, and you go, oh, okay. So yeah, a couple of nice opportunities against the Jets, and you know, had the Colts not put them in such favorable field positions too, maybe he has a little bit more yards.
Yeah, we'll definitely be watching him. One guy that we saw in Indianapolis and we thought, is he done? Is there anything left? Then here comes this homecoming signing with the Miami Dolphins, Frank Gore. Didn't really do too much, but was still getting the carries over Kenyon Drake, then exploded against all teams, the Bears defense. What do you believe in Frank Gore going forward? He might be the most underappreciated back maybe of our generation here with what he's done and what he still could do in a great matchup against the Lions this week.
Yeah, I'm going to use this opportunity to give my Frank Gore Hall of Fame pitch. I mean, I love the guy so much, 35 years old. You know, he's coming off almost a 1,000-yard season, which you think about everything that Colts offense did last year, you know, didn't do last year. And the fact that he doesn't really have that breakaway speed or whatever. But, you know, we saw Sunday had his longest run in like three seasons. I mean, that was impressive. And he's just sort of got that old man strength. I love it, you know, and what a great player he's been for so long. And I think you're right. I mean, most people are kind of taking him at the ends of fantasy drafts. Like, okay, I'll grab him because he's Frank Gore. The consistency he's had the last, I don't know, what, 12 years has been unbelievable. Does it always translate to fantasy? No. But when you see him getting those carries, I mean, to credit Drake, you know, he fumbles and then comes back and helps the team win. I mean, I tip my hat to him. Obviously not a great play by him. But, you know, there's a reason why they felt like this pairing worked, where you have the pro's pro teaching kind of the young gun how to go about his business. It'll be Drake's job at some point. You know, Frank Gore will be retired, I don't know, in 5 years. Yeah, I guess I just sort of feel like it's still a share for now. Mm-hmm. And when you see Gore, what do you end up with, 101 yards or something? I mean,
yeah, this was his 100-yard game. He had that big burst there near the end, and
yeah,
so he still can play.
He's still a player.
Yeah. Well, now as we continue the several degrees of separation of Frank Gore, he used to share a backfield with Carlos Hyde. Now Carlos Hyde shares a backfield with Nick Chubb, and Carlos Hyde is starting to regress to the mean. He was getting a lot of touchdowns early to kind of salvage his value, but he hasn't looked good at all. And Nick Chubb, every week, Hugh Jackson press conference, we need to get Nick Chubb more work. We need to get Nick Chubb more work. I think it's coming. When you look at the former Georgia backs, Todd Gurley, Sonny Michel, and don't forget Isaiah Crowell, former Georgia back, literally having big, big years, maybe it's time for Chubb to get his due here and eat as a Bulldog.
Yeah, I don't think we've quite – I'd have to go back and look at the exact numbers. But, you know, to go from like a two-carry game for, you know, 10 yards or whatever he had in week three to a three-carry, 105-yard game, two touchdowns, and then, you know, three carries for nothing against the Ravens. And I don't know. It's just – it's been so strange to see him be like all or nothing. But you're right. I mean, they have to get him the ball. I think that the game script on Sunday really kind of got away from him, so that's maybe partly to blame for that. But you're right. I mean, he's shown a burst that I think that I was wrong about this, frankly, in the offseason. I thought this is going to be Hyde's job. He's going to have a really nice year, and then they're going to let him walk in free agency or whatever. And because I think they almost signed him to a one-year deal. Is that right? I could be wrong. But basically, they'll move on from him, you know, and let somebody else have him, and then let Chubb have the job in 19. But I'm starting to think like you are, that at some point here, especially with, like we talked about with Mayfield, a really nice defensive setup here with the teams they play, it would be a sin not to see what he can do in an expanded role. I don't know if he'll ever be a pass catcher, and that's fine. That's what Duke Johnson should be, I would think. I mean, he's another guy they just sort of look past, and it's odd. It's very odd. What I don't know if this is more Haley, I would assume, or Jackson or what, but the usage has been a little bit strange.
Now, one last guy we'll talk about before we let you get out of here, Dante Foreman. Are we just wasting our time that knowing that He's coming off Achilles and pup. We've seen Lamar Miller struggle. Alpha Blue's just a guy. Are we wasting our time waiting for this guy? Because I liked him a bit, and he had a productive career at Texas, but I just don't see anything special with this offensive line where I'm going to suddenly say, okay, now the Texans have a running back.
Right. And I mean, even though he clearly looked like, you know, the better burst back of the two last year when he got the chance, I mean, he also fumbled the ball. He's got this Achilles thing that he's coming back from. I don't think he's – I'd have to double check. Please don't take my word for it, but I don't think he's going to play this week. Yeah. So, you know, I guess I would say that if you have running backs with late bye weeks, 10, 11, 12, you know, you're really thin at that position. You have an IR spot. You know, some leagues have that now, which I kind of like. I mean, that's probably what the best case scenario, don't you think? I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love this guy anyway.
Yeah, I just don't like this offense at all, really. I mean, when you look at the offense, pretty much it's now DeAndre Hopkins running around and trying to get open for Deshaun Watson, who's also running around. That's pretty much what's happening. The Will Fuller touchdown every week thing out the window. Kiki Kuti, hit or miss here. So it seems like it's just a two-man offense at this point, literally, because the offensive line is pretty non-existent.
And it's crazy, too, because, I mean, Watson's, you know, putting up his share of fantasy numbers. So to do it with all those constraints, you know, like you said, no real tight end, no running back depth. The offensive line is a sieve. I mean, it's just, you know, I thought at the beginning of the season Watson could end up being quarterback one fantasy, just in terms of, wow, you know, like if he gets any help at all, it's there. But I think obviously that's been holding him back.
All right, Eric, great spot. Good insight on quarterbacks and running backs, changing it up from the wide receivers we usually talk about. So that's a good little mix here. And also a good thing for people to do that are listening here to Locked On Fantasy Football is checking out Pro Football Weekly. What do you have going on over there, Eric?
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff going. We're based here in Chicago. We do a lot of Bears stuff and kind of dissecting what that loss means and looking ahead to the big Patriots game coming up. But check out my true turnover stuff, you know, looking at missed fourth downs and field goals as well as turnover or, you know, fumbles and interceptions. I feel like that gives a true look as to how many possessions the team gets. So I update that every week. And, yeah, we'll keep going with it as we enter week 7 here.
All right. Well, thanks again, Eric. We'll talk to you next week with more weekly waiver wire advice.
All right, buddy. Talk to you real soon, man.
All right.
Thanks again to Eric Edholm for his great spot every week. So much good insight. Veteran reporter. Has seen it all there at Pro Football Weekly and just gives us a unique insight there. And definitely check out his stuff on Reality and Fantasy. You won't be disappointed. Now, when we're talking about the waiver wire, this is all about guys with upside and guys that can raise your performance. But how's your performance? Well, you got to find a way to increase it and get that extra confidence in bed. That's important here. Fantasy football is one thing. Sex is another thing. You can't be afraid to talk about either and try to get better at both. Well, listen up. You got to go to bluechew.com if you want to get better in bed. Again, it's blue like the color blue, so it's easy to know. Chew, C-H-E-W. Bluechew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know their tablets work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is subscribed online and prescribed to you and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no awkward in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy. And you're just going to get your pills and be good to go here without going to the store. And best news, they're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than buying anything at a pharmacy. And for you, the Locked On Fantasy Football listener, we've got a special deal for you. Visit bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code Locked On. You just pay the $5 shipping. That's the promo code Locked On. Again, that's bluechew.com. Use the promo code Locked On and try Blue Chew for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. When we get back, we will look at the final pickups here of the week, focusing on tight ends and defenses. to potentially stream and look forward to in Week 7. Now, let's close the show here looking at tight end help. This week, you won't have the Steelers available for you, so Vance McDonald is out. Packers, Jimmy Graham, also, you need a replacement. Well, CJ Uzuma didn't do as much as we expected there against the Steelers, but I think he can do more going forward. Tyler Croft is hurting here. He's going to be out for a long time. Tyler Eifert's already down, so Uzuma has this position all to himself. John Ross has been hurting as well. The Chiefs can be burned pretty well against athletic tight ends, so CJ Uzuma, probably the last call for him if you want to go there. Now, OJ Howard, Cameron Brate. OJ Howard is healthy now, so Howard is the guy that I'm going to be preferred going forward. Brate did have a touchdown last week, but so did Howard, and Brate only had one catch there. So Howard is still the guy with Jameis Winston there at quarterback. Ricky Seals-Jones, it's a tough time trusting him week after week, but a guy that's getting more confidence from his rookie quarterback, Josh Rosen. Just changing the guard there. Less Larry Fitzgerald, more Kirk, more Seals-Jones. So you could trust some guys that he's practiced with a lot there. So Rosen, tight end, is usually a rookie quarterback's best friend. So I think Seals-Jones is going to have better weeks more than not going forward. And somebody you should definitely stash as a tight end too. Now we got to look at a team coming back from the bye. Benjamin Watson steps in a good matchup against the Ravens, his former team this week. A very vulnerable team to the tight end when you can throw it to them. And everything else opens up. They're going to run the ball a little bit more. That helps Watson because he's going to be on the field as a blocker. I know Josh Hill caught a touchdown in the last game, but he's healthy. He's going to be out there blocking well. And they can slip him out as the attention goes to the running game and score some touchdowns for you. And now, there's not too much else out there to help, but maybe Jack Doyle you can look forward to there. The Colts need some help at receiver there. Eric Ebron is balling out, but Jack Doyle is still going to have some value when he returns. So I would definitely look at Jack Doyle there in terms of maybe looking for a deep tight end. It's not too much out there, but I would start maybe looking a little bit more at one of the Jaguars, James O'Shaughnessy, someone like that if you're going really deep, because Niles Paul is down for the season, Austin Seferian Jenkins is down for the season. This team wants to throw a little bit more to the tight end, so not a terrible pickup there. If you're looking at Vernon Davis as well, getting more involved and really outplaying Jordan Reed of late. So I have to look at Vernon Davis more and more. They want to use two tight ends. Jameson Crowder's not going to be playing here of late as well, with that ankle being very troublesome here. They already have their bye week in the rear view, so Vernon Davis is going to be more involved. Him and Alex Smith go back a long way to San Francisco, and that connection is going to become more and more prevalent here. And the Cowboys can be vulnerable against the tight end, and I think Davis could be definitely a good alternative to people that are playing Reed and being disappointed with him. Now, you got to look at two defenses this week that are in particular that are pretty much available for you. You weren't playing necessarily the Steelers or the Packers. You might have streamed the Packers this past week. The Seahawks definitely was a big streamer. But you look this week, I don't mind looking at the Detroit Lions. If Brock Osweiler plays there again, you got to look at that situation. The Bears did have some points there. They ended up with negative in the end, but this Lions defense, I think, will come out better with Matt Patricia this week. The Colts, I really like at home against the Bills. Probably going to get Derek Anderson here as the starting quarterback. Still not thrilled about Derek Anderson maybe helping this team produce a little bit more. He can throw picks and get sacked here. Maybe not the rate of Nathan Peterman or Josh Allen, but you're going to see some plays by the Colts. So Colts and Lions are going to be out there available. A lot of the top defenses, you might have to look elsewhere this week. You look at the Ravens playing the Saints. You got to toggle off them even after the 11-sack game last week. The Bears are playing the Patriots, so you might need to pivot off them as well. So all kinds of things you want to put in play for your defenses this week. If I dig deeper into the schedule, there's not too many that I'm going to go trusting here, and it's hard when you have less defenses play and everyone is competing for those picks. But I'd say if you're looking at a team that might be available out there, I wouldn't sleep on the Chiefs. They're at home. I know the Bengals offense is pretty good, but Andy Dalton in prime time is not very good, so that's a very deep fade play and really cheap in DFS that they can get some sacks and turnovers in that game, put a lot of pressure on that Bengals offense late. And I would also look at maybe the Atlanta Falcons, much maligned, but Eli Manning's on the other side as well, could turn over again. The primetime home factor makes a bad defense play better than expected, especially on some desperate teams that are looking to rebound and play very well. So Falcons and Chiefs, very deep, risky plays, but if you're really stuck this week, I would look there more. I think one that I would avoid is the Buccaneers. I much prefer the Browns in that matchup because the Browns turn over the ball a little bit more. So the Browns is someone else you can look at. They didn't have a very good game against the Chargers, so that could fade people, and as well as looking at the Buccaneers' offense. So a lot of sneaky ways where you can exploit defenses. And remember, they're unpredictable week after week. They're preying on the mistakes of the other team versus how good a particular defense is, and that's what you're looking for, what team is in position to make the most mistakes against a defense, and that's how you do the streaming. And I really like going at teams at home as much as possible as well for streaming defenses. Defenses just simply play a lot better at home, especially in primetime emotional situations. So there you have it. There's a look at your weekly waiver wire. Thanks again to Eric Edholm for joining the show. As a reminder, for tomorrow, we'll have Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus, and we turn our attention to the Week 7 matchups on Matchup Focused. We'll talk to him about the four most intriguing games on the Week 7 slate, and then we'll come back with a DFS spin there on Thursday for you to wrap up the week, and as well as injury updates, as Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus as well joins us for Lineup Focus there. So great lineup every week. Check out the show, Tom Kesnick, on Monday if you want to catch up and get the takeaways there. Eric Edholm here on Tuesdays, Jeff on Wednesday, and Tyler on Thursdays. What a great week as we've expert editioned this show, Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time, and good luck with your waiver claims this week.